greetings from my wife Rahab and from the Kenyan American Community Church in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's always a privilege to be in the midst this morning, even as we wait to hear from the Lord. Let us pray. Dear God, I pray that you guide every word of my mouth. And I pray that every word I pronounce on this pulpit will edify the body we call the church. Bless us now, for this is our prayer of faith, and we say it in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody has said that growing old is inevitable, but growing up is optional. This year's theme that we have at St. Andrew's is very encouraging for all of us, because it calls us to grow up. Back in the U.S., and I'm sure here, when you tell someone to grow up, it doesn't mean good. That means you're behaving like a child. But this is the scripture, and Paul is encouraging us to grow up. What happens when we don't grow up? You see, we waste a lot of time. We waste a lot of energy. When we don't grow up, we become a charge to the society. We become a liability and not an asset. You see, when you don't grow up, you deny us what God has placed in you. And you know what happens? As they say, the greatest wealth is not in the oil industry or in technology. The greatest wealth is in the grave. Forbid it, that we don't grow up so that people may reap from us and we end up in the grave. You see, when you don't grow up, you deny us songs that should be sung. You deny us books that must be written and must be read. And at this moment, I want all of us to challenge all of us to ask ourselves, where are you in your life? Are you a grown-up man? Are you a grown-up woman? And I don't mean age. And what does that mean to your family, to the society we love so much, and even to the body of Christ? When I was invited and I thanked the leadership of St. Andrew's who have given me this opportunity to share this, I had a moment to reflect. It's been 30 some years since I became a minister of word in this church, and now 20 years ministering at Kenyan American Community Church. I have reflected on my life, and even though I'm on the 5th floor, not far away from the 6th floor, I'm checking on myself. Have I grown up? What have I done? Am I a charge? Am I one of those people that the society wish that I go fast? I want to suggest to you an acronym. I'm a teacher at Kennesaw State. And we always want to have something that you all remember. And I want to give you an acronym of OVER. Everybody say OVER. I want you to use this over your life. And OVER is spelled as O, V, E, and R. And each of those letters stands for something I'd like all of us to remember as we meditate about growing up. Number one is O, and it stands for opportunity. Do you know we need to have opportunity? We need to have an environment in which to grow up. This is an Arabian proverb that says, there are four things that will never come back. Four things. One, the spoken word. Once it's spoken, it's gone. The second one is the spent arrow.
The third one is the past life. And the fourth one, listen, church, is a neglected opportunity. A philosopher was asked, what is the first necessary thing you need to win the love of a woman? And listen to you that are married, are not married. What is the first necessary thing that you need to have when you go to win the love of a woman? And the answer was this: opportunity. Because if you don't have opportunity, where do you begin? Do you know, as someone has said, ability without is nothing without opportunity. You see, my friend, we have the opportunity to grow. This country and many countries around the world have given us the opportunity to become what you want to become, to dream and dream high. We have the freedom in this country and where I live. And what they call the Bill of Rights. You have all the freedom, the things that you can do to achieve your dreams. The opportunity is there for you. And here in the church, we have the opportunity to grow up as the body of Christ. And all of us is called to take one's part in the growth. Jesus said in Matthew 9 verse 97, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And you are being called to be part of the growth. Are you there just waiting for the choir to grow better? Are you there to see ushers do the good job? What is your position in the church? Are you a player or are you a fan? Are you one of those who are quick to analyze, criticize, and you are not doing anything about the growth of the body of Christ? You see, it is not just opportunity. Paul is talking about that we have to live under certain virtues. If you may, we need to have values, my friend. Have you ever seen a grown-up man and a grown woman who has no values? Gone are the days where we respected people of age because age went with wisdom. Siku hizi miaka haisemi chochote. And it is time that, my friend, we have a society of values. What do you stand for? What are your values? Because our values will determine if you are going to grow as a society. And in the church, Paul is quick to give us the virtues. I'm talking about V. I'm done with O. If you didn't realize, we are on the V. And the V is about the virtues that we must have and enhance in our midst. He outlined several of them. If you have the scripture well, he talks about humility. That's a virtue that we need for growth. And not pride, not being egocentric and self-deceit. He talks about gentleness. We want people who are gentle and not brutal. People who are rough. I hope we don't have brutal people in church. We are all saints, aren't we? God bless us. We know each other as well. He talks about another virtue that is very important. Patience. Patience. Oh my goodness. If we have a market of patience, I'm sure some wives, some husbands here will go and buy for Valentine to give to their spouses. Oh my Lord, where can I buy patience for my spouse? We need it as a virtue. Don't they say it very well? Subira, kuvuta. Come on, guys. Subira. Thank you. I thought I messed up with my Swahili. And he talks about love. Another virtue. Very important. Bearing with one another in love. And finally, he talks about unity. And then he's also quick to tell us what the church is founded on. He sets down the basis on which the Christian unity is founded. He talks about one body, one faith, one baptism, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one God, one hope. These are ingredients of growth. That's ye, my friend. Where are we? Where's the next letter? Come on, guys. I know it's morning. Come on. Help me preach now here. You know, back home there is a lot of excitement. You know, if it was one of those churches, you'd be telling me, preach on preacher. Yeah, go for the V, go for the V. You guys are so modest. We are Presbyterians, right? You know, preachers need encouragement. And let me tell you, those of you who are in front, let me tell you the secret. Just keep saying with the pastor. Lord, even when there is no point, that's how we get encouraged. How do we expect you to preach to 2,000 people and everything like this? Like you have not even started preaching. Man, I'm almost done and nobody is getting excited. What is the first letter? For what? The second one is what? For what? Yes! Thank you. Now we can talk. And the third one is what? E. Paul says you are not just to go and God is not leaving you there without equipping you. He equips us. You see, he calls us, but he also equips us. That is why he's talking about certain offices that have been picked out. The offices of apostle, one who is sent. The office of a prophet, a messenger of God, evangelist who preach the gospel, and the pastors and the shepherds who take care of the sheep. He doesn't leave us without being equipped.
And you know, we come from a Reformed tradition that talks about the priesthood of all believers. We all participate in the building of the body of Christ. It's not the folks in front here. It is for all of us. We need to be equipped, my friend. And I want to tell you this. God is very humorous. He does not just equip you the way you might think. Let me tell you how he equips. There's somebody who prayed for wisdom, and God gave him problems to solve. That's the way of God equipping you. Another one prayed for prosperity. God gave him bone, strength, and brains to work. Another one prayed for courage, and God gave him dangers to overcome. Another one prayed for patience, and God gave him a wife. No, I'm kidding. No. He asked for patience, and God placed him in situations where he was forced to wait. Another one prayed for love, and God gave him troubled people to help. And finally, listen to this. One prayed for favors, and God gave him opportunities. My friend, your living is determined not so much what life brings to you as by the attitude you bring to life. Haven't you heard people say life is only 10% what happens to you, and 90% how you react to it? I didn't say that word. They belong to somebody. We who are professors are very careful not to claim words. Listen again. Life is only 10% of what happens to you. It is 90% on how you react to it. Don't look for shortcuts. I'm watching my time, by the way. And my time is still in the US time. I have to make sure that I'm not off the mark. Is it 10 o'clock? That's the time the sun is supposed to work, right? How many minutes have I done? Come on, bring so that I can die in 5 minutes from now. Can I have 2 minutes to wind up? Yeah, thank you. I can't help but tell you this, because I teach.
There are people who don't want to grow up, they want shortcuts. A professor of molecular biology, student felt at the class and said, "We've come to the end of the semester, and I'm very proud of you as a class. We've done all the projects well, and I'm ready to give everybody a B for this class. You don't have to sit for the exam. And I want to let you know the semester is over. So please, you are ready to go. But for the sake of those who care for GPA, you want to make sure GPA is up, you may remain, but you all have a B." And the students moved over the class, and eight of them were left. And the teacher said, "Is there anybody else who wants to go? You have a B. You don't have to sit for the final." And one more student stepped out. When only seven were left, he closed the class and handed over the exam. When the students opened the exam, there were only two sentences that were typed. And the sentence read this: "Congratulations, you have just received an A in this class." What is the moral story? Keep believing in yourself. Don't go for a shortcut. Finally, before I'm done, R means don't rest until you reach your goal. How many times do you fail? How many times have you fallen short of growing up? I know at this time some of you are whining, almost lamenting about your life situation. Gigi, you are telling me to grow up academically. I'm almost 50, 60, 70. Things have failed. I want to end with an encouraging word. As long as you have the breath, my friend, you have a chance to grow. Praise the name of the Lord. Somebody has said, attitude determines altitude. In other words, attitude, the way you see things, will determine how high you go. And I want to encourage you this. Those of us who feel they've not grown up, do this now. I want you to speak to your life, because there is power in the tongue. Speak to your situation. Speak to your family. Even though it is in the brink of destruction, you can rise again. When your capital, your money is depleted, and your vision appears to be dead, speak to it. Talk to your situation and say, "I'll rise again." Psalm 118 verse 17 says, "I will not die but live, and I'll proclaim what the Lord has done." I love Micah 7:8. It is on my fridge. I put it there. Because the psalmist says, when he is overburdened and the enemies are all the sides and you feel like you cannot go anymore, he confesses and says this: Do not rejoice over me, enemy. Though I fall, I will rise, and I will sit in darkness. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. My friend, you need to speak to a situation and say, "It is not over until it is over." Your destiny is not dependent on statistics and what people say about you. You are called to reach your goal. You are called to win. There was this athlete, a Tanzanian, who went to compete in Mexico back in 1968. Something happened when he was running. Some people ran over him and he couldn't go anymore. And after everybody had finished the race, he was left in the field still running. And the cameraman spotted the single guy, African guy, just running around the arena. And all the cameras were there. And they interviewed him. Why are you still running when everybody finished so many minutes ago? And he was just limping and he said, I did not come from Tanzania. I didn't come 9,000 miles away to just finish, begin this race. I came to finish the race. It doesn't matter how many people have finished. I have to finish the race for my country. My friend, we cannot give up on life. Even when people think we are not grown up, there is still chance to rise up. God has the final say in your life. No wonder in Revelation 2:7 says, to one who is victorious, I'll give him the right to eat from the street of life, which is in the paradise of God. My friend, let's grow up, let's encourage each other, and to the end, it is possible because God is with us. God bless you.